Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Friday, January 27th, 2023. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker for his usual Friday visit. We're going to have some fun on today's show. I called it Game Show Friday. It's really more like just Jonah and I just having fun ranking stuff in regard to Ohio State football. Let's start out with one that you posed. It's almost impossible to answer. I'm going to have you go first. So rank these wide receivers in order. Marvin Harrison Jr., Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Garrett Wilson, and Chris Olave. I have them listed from youngest to oldest. So there you go. Marv Jr., JSN, Garrett Wilson, and Chris Olave. Rank them 1 through 4 for me.
Yeah, I was thinking about this question, Dave, and I was just going back and forth because I don't think there is a wrong answer depending on how you feel about these guys. But if I have to rank them, you know, top to bottom, number one, I got to go with Marvin Harrison Jr. I just think that he has the potential to be a future NFL Hall of Famer. When you look at Marvin, he's a guy that can just absolutely dominate a football game, take over when you need it. Doesn't have the top-end burner speed that you see in Wilson and Olave, but as far as just a polished wide receiver who has the ability to be an NFL wide receiver one, I got to go with Marvin. Number two, give me Garrett Wilson, Dave. Give me Garrett Wilson. And I look at the way Garrett Wilson is just absolutely dominating in the NFL with a terrible quarterback situation with the Jets, showing that he is a prime time player. I just think that Garrett Wilson's ceiling is a little bit higher than Olave and JSN. So I'm going to go with him at number two. Number three, give me. And this was tough, Dave, because I look back. And you have your recency bias, you know, because we look at JSN and it's like, oh, he missed his past season. And it's kind of hard. It's kind of easy to forget this monster season that he put up the year before. So I'm still going to go with Olave. I just think that Olave has that ability to really pop the top off the defense. I had no idea Olave's top end speed was that fast. It's kind of sneaky quick. But I just think that the way he's proven himself in the NFL right now, even in college, he was able to put up monster numbers. I'm going to go with Olave number three and then JSN number four. Now, with that being said, if JSN would have played this year and put up a monster season again, I could have easily moved him up there right next to Marvin because his production, if he would have had another back-to-back season, would have just been off the charts.
Well, this is not – we're not – you know, I'm not going to play podcast, I guess. I mean, we have the exact same list. You know, I'd like to argue with you, but we have the exact same list, and it's so hard. I mean, it's so hard. It's such a narrow margin. But, yeah, I like Marvin number one. I'd go Garrett Wilson number two. And then, as you mentioned, I think maybe the closest might be between Olave and JSN. It's really like a coin flip. And, yeah, we have the luxury of already knowing how Olave's game transferred or translated to the NFL. I think JSN is going to be great in the NFL, though, too. So I hate putting JSN last. It seems crazy. The season that he had as a sophomore will go down as one of the best seasons in Ohio State history. So yeah. It's tough putting him fourth, but I agree with you. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you think about Todd Machet talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba's wide receiver three in his eyes?
I didn't even hear that. I did see that Mel Kiper has him as the number one receiver. So
yeah,
those guys do a little sparring. Todd.
The NFL draft season, like all of the fake analysts and everything, is just absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have, you know, scouts and stuff go down to Will Levis' pro day and Richardson's pro day down in Florida, and then you're going to have some people talking about, oh, he's a better prospect than C.J. Stroud. It happens every season, and somebody's going to get convinced that those guys are the next coming and end up getting fired.
I don't get the Will Levis stuff at all. We'll see. I don't get it. Maybe I'll be wrong. Wouldn't be the first or the last. All right, here we go. Let's get to the current roster. All right, rank Ohio State's defensive linemen, both defensive tackles and defensive ends. Let's lump them all together. Rank, and we can go top five, however long you want to go, top seven, however you want to do it. Rank the best defensive linemen for the Buckeyes on the current roster.
Sure. I think I would definitely start with JT as my number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm going to go with Mike Hall. Number three, give me Ty Leak. I think him and Mike Hall are right there in the middle together. Four, you know, you got Jack, but I didn't see a whole lot of out of Jack to really say, you know, he's the next coming. So I'm going to keep him at four just because he's been able to earn his stripes on the field. Caden Curry.
So far we have the exact same list. Okay, and you have Caden Curry next?
I think I have Caden Curry next.
Now we got the same top five. Okay.
Now this is when it really gets hard, because you're talking about these guys that really haven't proven themselves. So we're just going to have to take a shot in the dark. I'm going to go with give me Kenyatta Jackson next.
That's who
I have to. Hey, give me Kenyatta Jackson. I just think that he has the potential to be a premier pass rusher. Then after that, I'm going to bounce back to the inside. Give me Hero Canoe.
Exact same top seven in order. I wrote down seven names. I wrote down seven guys. Those are the seven in order that I have. You have an eighth?
And then give me Amari Abor.
Okay. I think I forgot about Ty Hamilton. I think we both did. We probably should get him in there somewhere, but maybe not. Maybe he's after Amari Abor. I'd maybe put him eighth. I completely forgot about Ty Hamilton, but we have the exact same top seven. That's hilarious.
That was just off the top of my head. And for the people out there, Dave texted me about 5 minutes before the show and said, hey, we're going to rank the defensive linemen. And it was just off the top of my head, like, hey, this is who I'm rolling with.
Yeah, I figured, like, we're, you know, because you wanted to do the wide receivers. I'm like, let's just do a ranking theme on today's show. Speaking of which, let's rank the Buckeyes' current running backs in order. This will be very, very, very interesting. If you did this at this time last year, it would have been a little easier. So we're talking about Travion Henderson. We're talking about Mayan Williams. We're talking about Evan Pryor coming off the torn ACL. And we're talking about Dallin Hayden. Let's say Chip Traynham does make the permanent move to running back. Ryan Day says they'll decide that really going into spring, during spring. I think that probably will happen, especially with the Buckeyes only using two linebackers. They got both starters coming back. They got C.J. Hicks on the rise. We'll talk linebackers in a moment. But, all right, you want me to go first for a change, or do you want to go first again?
You go first.
Okay. This is a tough one. Okay, I believe in him. I'm still going to go Travion Henderson one. Okay, I'm going to go Travion Henderson one. I feel like it's going to be like a J.K. Dobbins situation to a degree, where great as a freshman, you know, relatively speaking as a true freshman, and had, you know, a drop-off as a sophomore, and then, you know, was banged up. I think Travion Henderson, I think we're quick to write him off. I'm going to still put him number one. Okay, number two. This is so tough. Give me Mayan Williams barely over Dallin Hayden. I'll put Dallin Hayden third. And just because he's coming off the torn ACL, and that's – I just don't know how he's going to be coming off that torn ACL, I'll put Evan Pryor fourth. What do you think?
Dallin Hayden number one for me, Dave.
Ooh, okay. All right. It's close. Yeah.
I just think that Dallin Hayden, he gives you somewhat of a combination between Henderson and Mayan, because when I look at Dallin Hayden, I see a guy who's very decisive. He sees a hole, he hits it, he puts his foot in the dirt, and it's boom, There's no dancing in the backfield when it comes to Dallin Hayden, which I really love that about him. He has the ability to catch the football out of the backfield. Number two, give me a healthy Travion Henderson. I think Henderson, when he's healthy, we saw what he could do as a freshman. He had an outstanding year. I do think that he needs to continue to work on his vision. There's a lot of times where he missed those holes or he runs right up the offensive lineman's back. It was tough and it was very close because I thought Williams is a guy that was running a whole lot better than Henderson during the season, early on especially, but come to find out that Trey had been battling some of the injuries. And another thing that really, you know, had me on the fence between those two, Dave, is Travion has had a propensity to be banged up quite a bit his first 2 years here. You know, he was in and out a lot of the times in the rotation his first year because of being knocked up. And then you look at Amion, he's also battling some type of durability issues these last several years. So I'm still going to go with him third. Give me Chip. I thought Chip ran extremely hard against Michigan. I haven't seen enough of Evan Pryor yet, even though, you know, you got Chip. Chip has shown that he can perform at a high level in college football because he was able to do it over at Arizona State. So give me Chip as my number four and then Pryor as my number five. But with that being said, Evan Pryor, if given the opportunity, has the potential to really climb up the list because I think that he brings a skill set that a lot of these other guys don't necessarily have because Evan Pryor, he's a smooth runner. He's not going to be the biggest blocker back there, but if he gets the opportunity, he has the potential to make some noise.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was getting a lot of buzz during camp last year, as you know. I mean, they were just, you know, flat out saying, you know, normally the number three tailback might not get a lot of run, but like they were going to carve out a role for him because, as you said, he does bring a different skill set to the table. You can use him as a traditional tailback, but he's also very dangerous out of the backfield. I mean, Travion's dangerous out of the backfield. They didn't really do that much this year. They did a lot his true freshman year, and they say Evan Pryor's that plus some as a receiver out of the backfield. So if he's healthy, he's going to be a weapon. It's just a matter of if he's going to be healthy because, like I said, he was getting a lot of buzz during camp last year. Good problem to have. Looks like they've got the depth. And, yeah, the Evan Pryor thing, man, it's like with the JSN injury, it's like that got like no talk. You know, that ended up hurting them not having Evan Pryor. When it first happened, you're thinking, well, you know, they're still okay there because they've got the other two guys, and the other two guys battled injuries the entire year. But as you mentioned, your number one guy, Dallin Hayden, stepped up. How about that? So good depth this year at running back. All right, moving right along, keeping with the theme here. All right, I'm curious. Now, you go first on this one. I have nice grammar by me here. I wrote down rank OSU's current linebacker in order. All right, Tommy Eichenberg, that's the one. No. There should be an S there. All right, Jay Buck, rank the Buckeyes' current linebackers in order.
Yeah, I would say Tommy's definitely going to have to be your number one. He performed at an all-conference level this year. Number two, I would still go with Steel Chambers. I still think that C.J. Hicks has a much higher ceiling than all of those guys, but he still needs to be able to prove it on the field. So I'll go with him at number three. Cody Simon will have to be number four there. He was on the field, you know, quite a bit in his career. Doesn't flash, doesn't do anything spectacular, but he's an able body that can provide you a little bit of depth there. Then, you know, you look at down the line. I mean, we're kind of just spitballing here, Dave, because we really haven't seen some of these other guys who's going to be able to, you know, step up and play at Ohio State, or we don't even know if these next tier guys can even play here at this level. So I'm just going to stick with those four because I would just be honest and say I'm guessing with the remaining guys because I haven't seen those other ones perform at a high level here yet.
All right. So I think everybody would agree. Tommy Eichenberg coming off, you know, second team All-American honors this year, first team All-Big Ten. Thank goodness he's coming back as a fifth-year senior, the quarterback of that defense. I think this defense is going to be really good with all the defensive linemen we mentioned. I think the back end's going to be better, and I love that Tommy and Steeler are coming back. So give me Tommy, number one, you know, by a long shot. And then, you know, I thought Steele played well. I thought Steele played well as a first-year, well, kind of second-year starter, basically, but, you know, first time that he started every game. And I thought he played well and continued to get better. So give me Steele, number two. Talk about projecting ahead. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but give me C.J. Hicks, yep. number three. I thought he flashed on special teams. So give me CJ Hicks. And thank goodness that injury against Michigan, that looked like it was serious, that he'd be out till maybe camp next year, if I had to guess, just watching it live. And then he's back playing in the Peach Bowl. So great news there. Give me Cody Simon fourth, and then I'll project it out. I mean, it's really tough. I'll go Gabe Powers and then Reed Carrico. What's going on with Reed Carrico? Let's get into that for a second. Are you hearing anything? Because, I had high expectations for him. Not that he'd come in as a true freshman, but he's right. now in his third year. He yeah. really – and they only play two linebackers. What, are you hearing anything? Like, what's going on? I mean, maybe he's just not getting the job done, obviously, but what's going on with Reed Carrico?
Yeah, it's quiet when it comes to Reed. I haven't heard anything in regards to how he's performing. Haven't heard anything from Ironson coaches or anything like that lately about him. So it's extremely quiet. If I was his parents and he wants to play, that would be a situation to where if I was being honest, I would look at potentially finding a destination like Cincinnati or somewhere to where I can get on the field right now. Because if you look at Jim Knowles' defense, as we mentioned earlier, he doesn't rotate his linebackers. Right now, CJ Hicks is most likely passing him up on the depth chart. And then after that, it's a wild card on who Jim will be willing to rotate in there. So the path to playing time for Reed is looking very slim here. I wouldn't be surprised if down the line his potential to hit the transfer portal, and if you're looking at it and you're being honest as a business decision, it probably would be the best decision if his desire is to play right away. But with that being said, Dave, some kids just love being at Ohio State. I mean, getting a degree from that university and finishing what you started, there's a lot to be said about that. And if he decides to stay within the program and just loves being around the team and wants to finish his education, then tip it a cap to you, kid, because you don't find a lot of those kids in college football these days.
Yeah, he still has 3 years of eligibility remaining, redshirted a year, so I'm rooting for Reed Carrico. Real quick, I know we've had some comments and questions about Sonny Styles. It's like, yeah, if he's not a starting linebacker, which would have to beat out Steel Chambers, I'm not saying he couldn't do that. I mean, they've got to find a starting spot for Sonny Styles, right? Whether he's going to be that bandit safety, taking over if Lathan Ransom moves to adjuster or whatever they do there. Do you feel like Sonny Styles has to be in the starting lineup, whether it's at that bandit safety or outside linebacker?
Wherever you can find a spot, right. Sonny Styles starts. There's no argument. There's no debate about should he or shouldn't he be a starter. He absolutely, from the time that they kick off in the spring, is he should go ahead and put it in a pen that he should be a starter, because there's no doubt in my mind that he will be an absolute beast.
Yeah, we have a lot of people asking about CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles. Muscle Tech, 614-619. CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles definitely need to start this year. So I think, the fan base definitely concurs with that sentiment. All right, next one here. Man, I'm really excited about this. Maybe I shouldn't be. All right, so the Buckeyes are getting a official visit from cornerback transfer Davison Igbinosin from Ole Miss. He was a freshman All-American at corner. Now, sounds like he went to Ole Miss because of Chris Partridge. Partridge is leaving. Maybe he's just going to follow Partridge, but I don't think he's coming to Ohio State. He's at UCLA right now, Davison is, and he's going to come to Ohio State maybe as early as Saturday and Sunday, maybe Sunday and Monday, Bill Kerlick said, one of the two. All right, since we're ranking things, rank the Buckeyes' chances of them landing Davison Igbinosin from Ole Miss, 1 through 10, J-Book.
I mean, this is a kid that you got to put the full court press on. The chances are, if you're getting him on campus, you always got a chance. I just think that Ohio State has to really show a desire to bring him in, to prove to him, like, hey, we need you. Look at our cornerback and our DB play over the last several years. With you being a freshman All-American in the SEC, you can come in here and start from day one. So if that's my pitch, I give it an 8, because – if you're looking to win a championship, you're looking to play in the brightest lights, an opportunity to get to the NFL with a program that's been known as DBU, you come to Ohio State, because if you can ball out at Ohio State and play at a high level, you're going to get your name out there nationally. So I would give it an 8. And I got my fingers crossed, Dave, because I do think if they can land this kid, it will answer a lot of questions in regards to your cornerback position going into the spring.
I'm going 7. I thought I was going to be a little optimistic there. You're a little bit more optimistic than I am, which is great. I mean, like, because you're right. I mean, even if he comes in here and just pushes Jordan Hancock and Denzel Burke, that'd be great. And then we all know there's going to be injuries. They're already thin at corner. Lost J.K. Johnson. I like both of the true freshmen that they have, but they're true freshmen, you know, and we'll see. I like Jair Brown coming up as a second-year guy. But they, you know, getting this kid would be great. I'll give it a 7, man. It'd be a huge, huge, huge get. He's also looking at UCLA, Ohio State, Tennessee, and then that school up north are the four schools that you mentioned.
I mean, I look at it like this, Dave. There's nothing that I've seen from the cornerbacks to say that anybody should be locked in as a starter. I know Denzel Burke has started over the last 2 years, but his play has been up and down. I mean, he looked good his true freshman year, struggled last year. Jordan Hancock finished in like the 50s as a grade per PFF on the year, so he didn't have a really good year. I know he battled through some injuries, and that could have played a role in it. But as far as getting a kid who has been able to perform at a high level in the SEC and be a freshman All-American, I do think that, you know, he's a kid that you absolutely have to try to bring in.
Sue, loyal viewer, loyal listener, Sue is saying anybody but that school up north for him. Yeah, like, okay, right? That's hopefully he's a Buckeye, but if not, hopefully definitely not a Wolverine. All right, last thing here. I'm stealing this from my friend Texas Bucknut on the Front Row message board on Bucknuts, longtime subscriber. He has a red hot thread right now on the Front Row message board on Bucknuts saying, if God forbid Ohio State loses for a third straight time to Michigan this coming season, how hot will Ryan Day's seat be on a scale of 1 through 10? What do you think, Jay Book?
I mean, that is a tough question, but you have to go 9, at least an 8, 9, 10, Dave. I mean, you can't lose to Michigan 3 times in a row, not win the Big Ten championship 3 times in a row. I mean, you're already hearing the catcalls, people saying that Day is John Cooper 2.0 when it comes to beating Michigan. Like, you're hearing, you heard it all from the time that the Michigan game clock ended into the playoffs. Everybody was saying that Ryan Day was John Cooper 2.0. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that at all, but this is Ohio State. Everyone knows you got to beat Michigan. That is the most important game of the season. And their goals are, Dave, if you're listening to Ryan Day, every year, beat Michigan number one, win the Big Ten championship number two, go win a national championship right after that. If he's not able to beat Michigan 3 years in a row, you're not even accomplishing your first goal as a program. So at that point, the seat has to be a 9, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he'd probably agree with that. You know, most people agree with you. The people that are chiming in here are agreeing with you, saying 9. We have a 9.5, another 9. We have a 7. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on – there are other factors at play. Like if Ohio State's undefeated, Michigan's undefeated, and Ohio State goes in there and loses by 3, and then, I mean, are they going to fire him? Maybe not at that point, but, man, his seat would be really, really hot. I'll go with an 8 just to throw a number out there since we're doing the game show. I think J-Book wins. J-Book wins the game show today.
But hold on. Before we get out here, let me ask you this, Dave. Yeah. Now, and some of the people in here, they've made a great point. Now, once they go to 12-team playoffs, do you think it kind of takes the luster out of the Michigan-Ohio State game? Because even if they both – you know, going into that game as a 10-win, 11-win team, whoever loses, they're still going to get into playoffs. Now, you can talk about home field advantage, having a bye week. Those are important factors when you're dealing with the playoffs. But if you're getting into the big dance, which is going to be the 12-team playoff, do you think that takes a little luster from the Michigan game?
It does. You know, it doesn't, you know, just the way you worded it, it does take a little luster off. You know, it's still going to be Ohio State, Michigan, but it won't be quite what it's been. What's interesting is even this year with 4, you know, Ohio State still was within, in my opinion, a very bad overturn of that Marvin Harrison play of winning the national championship. They would have then played TCU, and I'm convinced Ohio State would have won that game. They outplayed Georgia during a year where they not only lost to Michigan, but got their asses handed to them in Ohio Stadium. So, yeah, when it goes to 12, you know, the loser of that game, as long as they're still like a good team, which will be most cases, you know, the loser's going to get in the 12-team playoff, so it will take some of the luster off. So we'll see. This is why I'm a 4-team playoff guy. I know you and I have argued about that before, but
right.
Looking into that.
Now the question is, which Ryan Day is going to show up? Do we get the Ryan Day that we saw against Georgia, who's walking into the stadium, firing up the fans, flexing on the sidelines, aggressive, you know, putting – he absolutely put Kirby Smart in a blender with his play calling, being aggressive. If we're getting that Ryan Day as opposed to the one who just kind of just looked like he's going through the motions, what we saw against Michigan, those are two totally different type of coaches, what I saw. If we're getting the Ryan Day that we saw against Georgia all year round, I don't think Ohio State fans need to worry about if he's going to beat Michigan, because if he can get his team fired up to play like they did against Georgia all throughout the season and playing at a high clip, then this team has the potential to do something special.
Fun show today. Thank you very much to Jonah Booker. J-Book always comes strong. Really appreciate it. J-Book, appreciate all the listeners out there. We thank you guys so much. We know you have a lot of choices. Appreciate you guys making the Bucknuts Morning 5 part of your morning, Monday through Friday. Thanks again to J-Book. Thanks to all of you. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.